so funky.
Almost too funky.
I don't think that's possible.
No, it's possible.
It's possible to be too funky?
Yeah, it gets weird.
That's true. We are in the...
It's a
in
very
the,
small
yeah, we,
studio.
We are in the intimate booth today. Bricks, we already talked about the New York Knicks. Anything else from the NBA catching your eye? D'Antoni's first game with the Lakers last night. They win.
Got it done over a good Brooklyn team. Listen, I like the D'Antoni move. I've said it here. I called it. I don't want
to. You did kind of call.
Pontificate
it.
Or talk about my pontification. Pontification? Is it?
Just keep going.
I called it. Is what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that I called it. I wanted to see some Anthony Davis. Yesterday, he didn't play against the Knicks. I was kind of disappointed in that. He's been putting up 16 and 10. He looks like he could be the real deal. I mean, listen, I like...
There's not a lot to say about the NBA right now. It's early. The Knicks look good. The Nets will be improving. D'Antoni.
The Grizzlies will come back down to earth.
Right.
And what I don't like, and I will say this, and this is a general thing. I just happened to notice it. I'm on ESPN.com the other day, and they're doing their power rankings. They got their NFL power rankings. You got your NBA.
Every league power
rankings. Right. Their NBA power rankings had the Knicks at 2, the Grizz at 1, and the Heat at like 5 or 6. Now, I know based on records what's going on here, but nobody, not one ESPN talking
Who
head,
actually thinks the Grizzlies are better than the Heat.
Exactly, or probably the Lakers. So when you're doing your power rankings, I want... Don't just BS me. Don't tell me what people's records are. I know what people's records are. Who's
In fact,
the best?
Those are called the standings.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just ridiculous. That's just a pet peeve of mine is every week all of a sudden, you know, the Cardinals get out to a 3-0 start. All of a sudden.
Best team in the league.
In power rankings, they're sitting there at like 8. And I'm saying, wait a second, Merrill Hodge. If you actually think that they're 8, you need to call yourself out for being an idiot right now when they haven't won a game in 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, ESPN. Sometimes.
It's beautiful stuff.
Ed Reed has suspended one game for repeated violations of the NFL's defenseless player policy. That was appealed and reduced to a $50,000 fine. To me, this was a move, planned out move by the NFL. They knew it would be reduced.
What?
Yeah,
no.
I absolutely think that. I think they went out and just
think Roger Goodell is martyring himself for the cause.
A little bit.
Absolutely not.
I think he's trying. He's still got the stuff with the Saints going on. I think he's trying to say that we can be flexible and when it's called for.
It was
we can,
an independent arbitrator. Independent arbitrators have delivered more violent hits to Roger Goodell's image. than Ed Reed has ever delivered to wide receivers.
The NFL has taken a big hit in the past 6 months. They have been knocked out. I mean, they're still number one, but the image of the league office has been tarnished irreparably because of the refs and more
and
of these
lockout.
Moves with the bounty gate and the whole thing. I just think it was to me it happened so quickly and the NFL didn't fight it at all. I think they just kind of said, you know. Let's levy a huge, huge punishment just to remind people just to remind people that this policy is out there, and then when it's reduced, which we know is going to happen, doesn't matter.
Yeah, the NFL's essentially their police chief was on Mike and Mike the other day, and he was defending. This was before it got
well,
overturned.
Of course, he's not going to come out and say, "Yeah, we did this on purpose."
Right. Well,
but it's like there's no other reason to target Ed Reed other than that Ed Reed is visible.
This is the most wrong you've ever been on this show.
That is false.
There is no way the league office is going to go out there and say, "Listen, I have a plan. We're going to suspend this guy and dock him $500,000. Then we're going to have an independent arbitrator have it overruled and only hit him with $50,000." By the way, if I'm Ed Reed, realistically, I'm probably walking away from this feeling pretty good. I just saved myself.
You shouldn't be though. $50,000 is absurd for that.
Right.
For what happened.
Exactly. Listen, but that's my thing. If you're going to say, "Okay, you didn't do anything wrong, just give us $50,000 and we'll take away the initial," I'll be like, "What?" What do you mean? So you ruled that I didn't do anything wrong, yet I still have to pay you $50K? That's the bizarre twist that the NFL keep trying to save face with. You know, somebody
right.
really
I just
should
think,
call them out.
Look, I just think it was. You know, it wasn't that big a play, but visible player on a visible team in a visible spot. I think they just kind of wanted to make a point.
That's exactly what they tried to do, and they got caught red-handed trying to make a point and cost somebody $500,000 just to deliver a message. And they
I don't think they had a problem.
The arbitrator essentially said, "You're just trying to deliver a message. This is not fair to Ed Reed." And they reversed it, and they slapped Roger Goodell in the face. This is not something Goodell wanted to do on purpose. You are absolutely wrong.
This is the first time the NFL comes out and says that we're fine. You know, Roger Goodell has been the guy to give these punishments and rule on them. Now he says, all right, I'll give it up to somebody else. It's because he's in the middle of this Bounty Gate thing. He's taking his hands off of it so that the league looks better.
The league does not look better.
In this situation.
Listen, this is what happens, so that
people can never come at the NFL again and say, well, you're judge, jury, and appeal judge.
Right.
They should have never done that. I agree with you. I think he was trying to make a point to the league about the hits and subsequent. Okay. I think he didn't have a problem making a point and making it visible that I'm not going to be appeal
Roger
judge
Goodell
anymore.
Has no problem trying to look more fair by having it go to an independent arbitrator. Roger Goodell definitely thought that it would be upheld and did not. Maybe it's reduced fine. They got rid of $450,000 and a game suspension.
Yeah.
He's allowed to play. That is a complete and utter, Roger, you're wrong. That's what the independent arbitrator
I understand
said.
That. I'm saying it's not.
You never wanted.
I'm saying that in the NFL offices right now, they're not that angry about this. They just kind of like, yeah, all right, we're okay with this.
I think you're completely foolish here.
Plaxico Burress to the Steelers. Are they foolish?
What took so long?
Yeah.
Why was he out of the league for this long? If the Giants didn't have a very deep slew of wide receivers.
And a history there with him shooting himself in the leg.
I understand why they're
not crazy about bringing him back. But Plaxico Burress. Jets, Tannenbaum, where you been?
Plaxico Burress should have been a Jet by now.
Yep.
He should have been a Ram by now. He should have been a Jag by now. He should have been. I mean, the guy can play the game. The guy is 6 foot. He's not going to get shorter. He hasn't shrunk. You throw him in the end zone. You throw a jump ball to the guy. People are saying,
what about his physical fit? You don't need to be that physically fit to run from the 10-yard line to the goal line and jump when you're six, whatever he is.
Exactly. And listen, people said, oh, he didn't have a great year with the Jets. He had 8 touchdown passes. He caught 8 touchdowns from the Jets. Has Mark Sanchez thrown 8 TD passes this year? The guy is a red zone target. He may not have the speed he still has. I'd imagine he's probably the guy. He
needed to be in the league earlier. This is a good move by the Steelers.
When he was younger, he was a little bit of a punk. I never thought he was a punk with the Giants. He shot himself. Give him another chance. He should have been in the league.
Right. And in other wide receiver news, Bricks, Larry Fitzgerald is the classiest dude ever. I don't know if you saw any of the Falcon Cardinal game this week, but the Falcons get out or the Cardinals get out to a 13-3 lead, and Ken Wisenhunt doesn't like how John Skelton's playing, so he pulls Skelton for the backup no one's ever heard of. At which point I'm sitting there like, you're a huge underdog on the road in a 1 o'clock game. You're up 10 points. What are you doing? I don't care if he's not playing that. What are you doing messing with the paradigm that much?
By the way, John Skelton is the artist formerly known as the backup quarterback that no one's ever heard of.
Right.
So congratulations, John.
And so this young kid comes in, gives the game away. I mean, they gave the game away.
Absolutely.
The Falcons come storming back. Larry Fitzgerald, who could be one of the best wide receivers, and who could be the best wide receiver in the league if he had a quarterback. Reporters come to him after the game and ask him what he thinks about this. And his only response is, "I'm not perfect either." I love Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald's
the classiest
the
dude ever. He has every right to be the diva wide receiver who freaks out about the fact that that since Kurt Warner's retired, they haven't been able to get him a quarterback that has any arm at all.
No,
he has every right to be angry.
He does,
and he's not.
And that team has, a weapon in Fitzgerald, not much of a running attack, but they have a very good defense. That team should be contending. They just can't figure out what to. And that's another potential destination for Michael Vick. Should be a new segment on the show. Potential
places Michael Vick could go.
All the places Michael Vick could go. Listen, he's classy. And another quick note, props to Drew Brees, who is giving a cool million
way to go, Drew.
To Hurricane Sandy.
That's right, and that's another dude. Another coolest dude. And just a good guy in the NFL. The Chiefs, It doesn't get any worse for the Chiefs, really. You can't imagine it getting worse for the Kansas City Chiefs, unless your fans start getting angry to the point that they shoot other people in the face with shotguns and then call you out in their obituaries.
It's pretty bad.
Both of those things have happened in the past week. On Sunday, some Chief fan somewhere got angry at a dude making fun of his Chiefs, so he shot the guy in the face with a shotgun, and another guy died and then had his family write in his obituary, blankety-blank died due to complications of MS and because the Kansas City Chiefs suck, basically.
Basically, yeah.
To that effect.
So we
which
were
is
saying,
which is a boss thing to put in your obituary, I guess.
If you were going to put some, I had a couple things. The first one I would say is, you know, Pierce Brooks died this day in 2012. Has a better chance of being seen alive this year than the NHL does.
That's brutal. That's a tough shot.
That'd be one.
That's
also
a cheap shot.
I'd also go with ever since the Knicks traded Patrick Ewing to the Seattle Supersonics. That's a tough one. I've known that all great things had to come to an end. It has happened for me. And thirdly,
I like this. You're writing, yeah, okay.
Thirdly, I have three of these. I'm not going to keep going forever.
Just different papers with different obituaries for Pierce Brooks.
It was 1999. Every cool person had frosted tips. Mike Piazza is not gay. Not that I care if he is gay, but he's married to a playmate. I'm just saying.
It would be your. I don't think I could put anything sports related in my obituary. I think if I was going somewhere weird, be like Joe Bianchino died Thursday, proving definitively that it is hard out there for a pimp.
That's
like
what you would put.
That might be where I go. I don't think I'd go sports.
A Joe B died today. Just want to let you know, 11-7-9-4 was better than 8-6 2002.
The elusive fish reference.
The elusive fish reference.
Oh God! Finally, in this hodgepodge segment, by the way. 11-7-94 was a kicking show.
Oh my God.
Kicking show, really. last thing, this will
covered
excite
Radiohead.
You. This will excite you, brother. Danica Patrick single.
You know what?
She's
never been a big
D-pad. Danica fan?
I mean, listen, she looks better than everybody else on the NASCAR circuit. Don't get me wrong.
That's true. And so you're not digging Brad Keselowski the way that fire suit form fits to his curves.
Let's stop talking about what we're talking about.
No, listen, does he have frosted tips?
Danica's a cutie with a booty, but I have a problem with a girl who does sexy commercials, then complains about being a sex symbol, who hasn't won anything and gets all this attention. It doesn't look. I mean, she's good looking. She's not Anna Kournikova.
But can we imagine what the GoDaddy commercials are about to look like?
Dude,
now that she's not married.
GoDaddy stock just skyrocketed.
I'm buying. Buy or sell GoDaddy stock. I'm buying.
Single on the mingle.
It's cover two.